from NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, has a regional offices all over the country, but they have one here in St. Petersburg. And the regional manager, I guess, is Sean Strelchek. Is manager the right word? Or
regional administrator.
You've got to get right up on the mic.
Regional
yeah.
administrator.
Administrator, okay. And he's here with Sean, I'm sorry, that's Andy Strelchek, and Sean Meehan, who is takes care of the fisheries, recreational fishing, and that sort of thing, right? What's your title?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm the recreational fishing coordinator for the Southeast region in the United States.
Okay, great. And the subject today that we're going to talk about is the red snapper. Now, we've had NOAA on here before, representatives talking about the rice whale and the red snapper. You know, I'm a native Floridian. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, and it just seemed like red snapper, we were having that fish all the time. It's a kind of a unique fish. It's got unique characteristics and everything. It's one of the really best eating fish, I would say. You know,
it is delicious.
And, right. Can you tell us a little bit about what you... And then it went down. Apparently, the fish went into a decline at some point, maybe several times. What is the NOAA doing in regard to that decline? And is it coming back?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for having us.
Sure.
This is a great environment. Great to be talking about fisheries. We're happy here to talk about red snapper. As a Floridian, like you guys, you know, fishing is a way of life for all of us. It's important whether you're a fisherman and like to go out and enjoy catching fish, or you want to go get a grouper sandwich or snapper sandwich on the beach. Red snapper is one of our most controversial fisheries because it's so economically valuable. It's a really important fishery that we manage in the Gulf of Mexico and South Atlantic Ocean. It was depleted significantly back into the early 1990s, and we've been working to recover the species ever since. In the Gulf of Mexico, we've had some tremendous success with red snapper rebuilding, increased quotas by 3 times to allow for substantial harvest for both recreational and commercial fishermen, allowed for longer fishing seasons. In the South Atlantic, it's been a little bit more difficult. As you pointed out, you know, you might have seen them when you were younger. They became very depleted, and we're working to recover them. But ultimately, a lot of controversy still surrounds that fishery because of short fishing seasons, especially for recreational anglers.
Really? Well, I remember growing up down there, one of the things I remember as a kid, we'd go out to the beach, Fort Lauderdale Beach. My parents would take us out there, and then and little globlets of oil all over the place. And when everybody I lived in Wilton Manors area, and every house had a glass jar on the front porch. Before you went in, your mother made you wipe. It had a brown kind of liquid like kerosene or something. You had to wipe that tar off your feet. And there were no laws against things like that way back then. So that kind of there was nobody was looking at stuff like that in regard to the fish, I don't think. And that's why a lot of species started heading down. And then what else caused the
Well, you're exactly right. 1976 was kind of major federal legislation that helped to start recovery of our fisheries in the United States in federal waters, right? And the goal of that was essentially to set some fairly stringent rules and regulations and targets for recovering these resources, which is really important. And the United States is looked at as a leader around the world with regard to how we manage our fisheries, but with that strict management becomes a lot of controversy and challenges, right, in terms of allowing harvest and what levels of harvest we can allow. You know, one of the main things that we are challenged with these days is the amount of fishing effort, both commercial and recreational, and people going out and enjoying the water and catching fish but having to release them, and some of those fish don't survive, right? And so one of the components of Sean's job is working with anglers to educate them about safe release practices.
What is a safe release practice, Sean?
So you can imagine when fishermen are out there fishing on the reefs for these bottom fish like snapper and grouper, they're at tremendous pressure at depth. Every 33 feet, the pressure increases each time. So when you bring them up from 100 feet or 150 feet, the gases that are inside them expand. And fishermen have seen fish come up with the stomachs coming out of their mouth or the eyeballs bulging. And if you release that fish and just let it go, it's going to float and it's going to die. And or it's going to get eaten right there. So we work with fishermen to encourage them to handle them quickly, be prepared when they come up. There's some devices that are available where you can either vent the fish, i.e. put like a hypodermic in their side in the correct place, and it allows the gas to escape and the fish can swim down. There's also devices that will clamp to the lower jaw of the fish, and fishermen can send them right back to where they came from. All the gas is recompressed, the fish is happy and swims off. That way they live to breed again, to grow up, to maybe be of legal size, or to survive until when the season's open.
Are those things costly to the fishermen?
They can be. You can get them in tackle stores. You can order them online. There's also programs like one called Return 'Em Right, where you can go online, and if you're a licensed fisherman in the Gulf of Mexico, you can take an online course, and if you pass, gear will be sent to you, including a 3-pound lead, a descending device, and a hook, which is a non-mechanical feature. So you have two devices and a weight, and fishermen are now empowered, they're educated, and they have the equipment to handle the fish correctly and hopefully increase and improve our fisheries.
Where can people find information about that?
It's a Return M, right? You know, E-M, you know, we kind of speak in plain language, .org. And you can go online and take the online course and request for some gear to be sent to you.
That's awesome.
Who fishes 150 feet down?
Who fishes? A lot of people fish.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, we regulate fisheries from 9 miles out to 200 miles. That is our jurisdiction. The state of Florida regulates inside that distance. So most of the fish that we have authority over ultimately are in these deeper waters. And so that's why Sean's talking about the importance of releasing fish, caring for the fish for conservation purposes. We want to see them live for another day and survive. We balance and manage recreational and commercial fisheries, so we are responsible for commercial harvests and the fish that ultimately show up in the seafood market and seafood restaurants, as well as private anglers that own their own boats, as well as those people that don't have their boats that want to go charter fishing out of Clearwater Beach or Madeira Beach or wherever.
Well, how much? What is the percentage of commercial fishermen regarding the red snapper to the recreational fishermen that's looking for that particular fish?
So it varies depending on if we're talking about the Gulf of Mexico or South Atlantic. In the Gulf of Mexico, the quota, the amount of harvest is equally split roughly between commercial and recreational fishermen. In the South Atlantic Ocean, it's about 3/4 is harvested by recreational anglers. But each species has its own allocation between commercial and recreational sectors, and some species are more heavily harvested by commercial fishermen. Many are more heavily harvested by recreational anglers.
And the commercial fishermen know where to go?
I would say commercial and recreational fishermen know where to go.
That's
yes.
What I mean, yeah. And that fish is also seen almost in the northern part of South America and in through the Caribbean.
Red snapper, there's a Caribbean red snapper, but really the predominant species we're talking about occurs off of the northern Gulf of Mexico, along the Florida Shelf, as well as down into Mexican waters off the Yucatan Peninsula. And then on the East Coast, it can range primarily from Cape Canaveral all the way up through North Carolina.
There you go.
So it's not prevalent down as prevalent down in Miami, off of Miami and Vero Beach and places as it is from Cape Canaveral north.
Yeah, we talked earlier about historically the population becoming depleted and shrinking in size substantially. And what we saw is it really kind of disappeared off the West Florida coast and in a lot of areas off the East Coast. Now it's extended back its range. It is fairly common to catch red snapper as far south as the Dry Tortugas. Not really commonly seen or caught throughout the Florida Keys and up the eastern coast toward Cape Canaveral.
Now, this is a fish that can grow to be 30, 40 pounds, right?
Yeah, one of the challenges with this species and a lot of our deep water species is they grow to live to very old ages. So a red snapper can get to over 50 years in age. And as Sean was mentioning about the importance of, you know, releasing fish and allowing them to breed again, one of the keys with fish is that the larger they get, the more eggs they produce, which is then better for the fish population.
Really? What is their reproduction like? They just lay the eggs on the water, something like that?
They freely spawn the eggs into the water. The eggs essentially ultimately turn into larvae if they're fertilized, often are carried by currents throughout the Gulf of Mexico and South Atlantic until the larvae are large enough to settle out.
How long?
I'd have to get back to you on that one, but I think with red snapper, it's 40, 50 days.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought I read somewhere that once they're in a certain point, it takes 2 days and they hatch. Did I read wrong?
Hatch, yes, into a larval stage.
Oh, okay.
And when in that larval stage, they really can't swim. I mean, there's these tiny little millimeter things in the big ocean, so they're at the mercy of currents and storm events and what have you until they get old enough.
Big old whales.
It could be.
Along.
And then they kind of, for lack of a better term, smell the right area, and then they settle out and go down, find habitat, and hopefully the habitat's there with food and protection, and then they can grow up until when we as fishermen appreciate them more.
So what sort of habitat do they look for, do they do well in?
Go ahead, Andy.
Well, so for juveniles, the younger fish, the smaller fish, they tend to settle out on kind of flat, rocky bottom, oyster bottom, low relief habitat. When they get older, most anglers like to catch them off of either larger natural reefs or artificial structures, large boats that have been sunk in the water purposely. But one of the interesting things we've learned just in the last 3 or 4 years through some funding by Congress is that some of the largest fish actually occur in these deeper waters with very little habitat, low density habitat, but there's a lot of that habitat in the Gulf of Mexico, and so although their abundance or densities are low, there's a lot of fish in those areas. Those aren't areas necessarily harvest where fishermen go and harvest fish because it's just not economically practical to do so, but it's really important habitat for those older, larger fish.
And the neat thing about red snapper is when they're small, they prefer a different habitat kind of when the adults. So they go in, let's say, a little more shallower water, 30, 40 feet, low relief oyster, like Andy said. Then as they get bigger and older, they go out. So as fishermen, we think red snapper reef, right? That's it. But no, all these habitats are important to the life cycle of red snapper. So if you don't have that shell and small relief, you're not going to have the big fish because big fish come from little fish.
Yeah, exactly. Treblehook, do you have any questions for these guys?
Scotty, you
got a microphone. You got a microphone.
Yeah, I guess we can mic him. You want to talk to us, Scotty? You're having a day, it seems.
Well, usually I show up with old strings on my guitar, and I strung it up at 8 o'clock this morning, and I left it sitting at the... I don't know whether it's sitting on the driveway or what, because I got my other stuff. I even opened up the back of my truck and stuck some extra guitar strings in there, and so I had some other stuff. But anyways,
You are a fisherman, correct?
He's got some cool old fishing reels right there. Looks like some old pens. Yeah, he's got them. So he's very prepared.
Well, you can give that to Allison. She can keep the beat while you're playing.
And there's a quarter inch there for
we'll
you,
get to
Scotty.
That, yes. Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
We forgot to...
Are you muted? Is it muted?
We forgot to introduce Allison. Allison Barrett over here, who's in charge of communications. And
But apparently media. Doesn't want to communicate with us on air.
Not on air, but she's giving hand signals and that sort of thing. You know.
All right. Ooh, yeah, there it is.
Do you want to do one song and then we'll go back to...
Yeah, I guess I can turn the camera towards Scotty.
Yeah, there's a salt water cowboy out on the Gulf of Mexico, riding bareback on a bandit boat out to the Florida middlegrounds, on out to the cloverleaf and back to the big elbow. Yeah, there's a salt water cowboy, yeah, now everybody knows. Well, Captain Jimmy, he's always been a bandit boat man, and he's always been tried and true. But the long lines are reaping off the reef, and the red tide's been ripping through. But he's a rod and a reel and a bandit man, he's just trying to pay what's due. You can hear him shout, get them rigs down, boys, and fish are putting on a show. We'll be reeling groupers all day long like it's a damned old rodeo. Yeah, we're the salt water cowboys out on the Gulf of Mexico. Now the widow Donna, she ain't been the same since that no-name storm blew through Hudson Town. But at her home took her husband, Captain Mel, and his whole crew went down. So I sing this song for all those cowboys out on the Bronchian Seas. They're the saltwater cowboys, yeah, now they bring it in for you and me. Yeah, there's a saltwater cowboy out on the Gulf of Mexico, riding bareback on a bandit boat out to the Florida middle grounds, on out to the clover leaf and back to the big elbow. Yeah, there's a saltwater cowboy, yeah, now everybody knows. When a west wind begins to blow, the Gulf is gonna roll.
That's great.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah.
That was great. Thanks.
Yeah, Triple Hook has a probably more songs about fishing than any other Florida songwriter that I've heard about. I know Tom Gribben's written a few.
Yeah.
In fact, his band was called the Saltwater Cowboys at one time.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, in when you rank the fish, where does the red snapper rank in the favorite fish of restaurants and consumers? Like you talk about grouper, snapper, the different good eating fish that mostly people would.
Yeah, I think it really depends on where you are, but grouper is kind of king here in Florida for most places. As you go farther to the west in the Gulf of Mexico, red snapper obviously is one of the most favored fish in restaurants, and on the East Coast, just because we've had limited harvest of commercial red snapper in recent years, it tends to be other species just because the harvest has been small.
I'm a mutton snapper guy personally. I'll throw it out. I grew up in Jupiter, just north of where you are. I'm a mutton fish guy. I got to be honest.
Oh, man. What about you, Pete? What's your preferred fish?
Well, I like a good grouper and red snapper. I don't seem to see it much over here anymore in the restaurants.
Yeah, it's. Every place has grouper and mahi and. The snappers. Yeah.
Most Thai restaurants have a red snapper.
Yeah, there you go.
I think it's in demand around the country, and so red snapper, true American red snapper, American fishermen providing this food is in demand all over the country. We do get in a little trouble where red snapper can be named other fish, and that's a mysterious thing. And, you know, Noah also has law enforcement and seafood inspection, so there are folks working night and day to make sure that when you get red snapper, that is truly red snapper and not some maroonish kind of snapper fish from someplace else. Right.
Yeah, so how does that enforcement work? Like, do they just randomly inspect vessels or restaurants? Or...
Well, so we have a great partnership with the various Gulf of Mexico and South Atlantic states for enforcement. The commercial fishery is heavily regulated. A lot of the red snapper fishermen in the Gulf of Mexico, for example, have to report when they leave for a trip. They have to report when they come back for a trip. They have log books and landing requirements, and so as well as vessel monitoring systems so that we know when they're on the water, where they're fishing, and can report, obviously, catches.
It's like pilots.
I didn't realize it was that thorough. That's really interesting.
Pilots in an airplane have to do all those things.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of work that goes into data collection, and it's not as easy for recreational anglers because there's millions of recreational anglers, so we tend to survey them, right, through either mail-based surveys or logbooks or dockside intercepts where we go out and actually sample their catch and determine how much they've caught, how many people were fishing for those fish.
Wow. All right. When did the St. Petersburg office open?
It's been open, I think, since the 1970s. I don't know exactly the date, but it's been here for quite some time. We're in the old Florida power plant just south of the marina in St. Pete.
All right. Well, you are listening to the Florida Folk Show. Support for Radio St. Pete and the Florida Folk Show comes from the Will McLean Foundation. Established in 1990, the Will McLean Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose goals are to provide research, education, performance, and training to promote understanding and appreciation of the works of Will McLean and of other Florida artists. The foundation also operates the Florida Sand Ranch Performance Venue in Brooksville. More at willmclean.com.
And I want to remind people, too, that we're a nonprofit community radio station and operate totally on donations. None of us are getting paid or anything. And
if you'd like to support Radio St. Pete, you can go to RadioSt.Pete.com and click on that donate button. It's real simple, real easy, and just give us all of your money.
And we didn't win the Best of the Bay radio contest.
Oh, did we not?
No, we went to...
I haven't even looked at the results of any of them.
The Bolt?
The Bolt? What is that, like the Lightnings?
No. I can't remember the name of the station, but it's a rock and roll station. And
all right.
I think WMNF came in second or third, something like that. So.
Interesting.
Well, you know, what can you say?
Who won Best Open Mic Comedy Night?
Side Splitters or some one of those.
I mean, because I thought we really had a chance with the Folk Night.
Yeah. Well... Well, that's very, very interesting. A lot of things I think people are hearing today about that particular fish is not just the fish, but the great effort that's being taken by the government to make sure the fish is safe to eat and that make sure the fish survives. I don't know how many people are working on that case. Hundreds?
So I have 120 thousand? People that work just in my office, but we're talking thousands of people that work in fisheries management and science throughout the Southeast.
Right, and I remember the early days of and things have changed so much, the early days of the Florida Panther movement back in the 70s. And 30 left. And the people were angry about that. They wanted them all gone. They didn't like the fact that they were jumping over their fences and killing their calves and this sort of thing, you know. And it took a long time of convincing, many, many meetings of convincing these angry landowners, hunters. That, you know. In fact, just the other day I read a story about the sheriff of Taylor County, Florida, which is in the upper, in the Big Bend area of Florida. Wants to open up bear hunting again because bear reports have increased around the state. Not attacks, but just bears being seen by people. Like one hung out at Walt Disney World in a tree for a while. Got a lot of publicity, and it I'm not going to tell the story today, but I've been out on a bear hunt before with people, and where people got killed accidentally and this sort of thing. I was a writer for the Times. I wrote a story about that, and there's a certain type of person that just reacts badly towards efforts to protect endangered species. They act like they don't believe it's true. But you see, here, what we're talking about here, and now, of course, the panther is like one of the greatest examples in the world of recovering a severely endangered animal that was down to 30 at one time, you know, very few females. And now they're talking about putting it on the threatened list. You know, there's hundreds of them. But and the wildlife corridor is helping protect them because they need space to. And I understand the Wildlife Corridor, Florida Wildlife Corridor headquarters are going to be headquartered in St. Pete real soon.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I saw the story yesterday. They put out a press release. So we'll have those guys on.
Path of the Panther.
Yeah.
Great documentary.
Can you recommend any documentary films or things that people can see that...
people want to know more about red snapper or fisheries or...
As far as films, nothing comes to mind. But I would encourage people to stay engaged in fisheries management. There's the Gulf Council. There's the State of Florida, the Fish and Wildlife Conservation. You know, be informed, be engaged, and you have a voice. And your voice is very important, both fishermen and consumers, being part of the process. That makes scientists' jobs better, makes management jobs better, to knowing what the people are seeing and share that with others.
Do you work at all with the FWC?
Yeah, they're a close partner of ours. We've worked very closely with them. They help collect data and information for many of the species we regulate and manage. They're part of the scientific research that helps to assess the health and status of fish populations. So they're a critical partner like the other states.
How many other species are on your list?
If we're talking just like species like snapper, reef fish, I mean, we regulate 42 species of reef fish in the Gulf of Mexico and another 55 species in the South Atlantic. So there is a lot of fish out there, different species. And one of the challenges with reef fish, besides them living in deep water, is often they live with one another, right? So when you're going out and targeting one species, you often catch another species.
What do people do when they're on a bridge and they catch a snapper and pull it up? How do they release that?
So usually on bridges, red snapper aren't caught in those areas. You usually get like mangrove snappers or lane snappers. And that best handling practices is you know, universal. You want to act quickly if you want to release that fish. You have a de-hooker. You want to use, you know, wet hands. Get that fish back in the water as soon as possible. You know, be prepared. And hopefully it'll get bigger, and one day it'll be ready to come home and feed your family.
But you don't want to throw it right off the bridge.
You want to get it back quickly, but on a bridge you can't really lower that elevation. You're already 20, 30 feet in the air, but get that little fellow back in the water as quick as possible would be my recommendation.
There you go.
Well, I know, Sean, you have to go. Did you have anything else that we left out that you could...
No, other than I am basically a conduit or point of communication for fishermen. So please reach out to me if you have any questions, any information. I'm in the building. I work with some amazing scientists and managers and economists. Happy to get information to fishermen and non-fishermen. This has been wonderful. This is such a great venue, so thank you. And love your music. Love the bandit reference. You know, us fishermen know exactly what you're talking about when you say that. It's like fisherman code. So really, thank you, Trouble Hook. Appreciate it.
What's the website that people can go to for information about NOAA, the fisheries?
Okay. Allison said she has it posted for you guys. It'll be posted up on your site. Look for us. Look for me. Google Sean Meehan. Allison is like my promoter as well. I have a page with my face. And send me questions. Reach out. Love to hear from folks. Really.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
I believe Diane posted the fisheries.noaa.gov/region/southeast in the comments. So.